Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Welcome back, my friend Ed.
Hello, Alan. Good to be with you again.
I hear you were elected to a fifth term as the state Republican chairman unanimously. Not one person thought you were doing a bad job.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm sure there are a few who may. But look, we are never been so united as a party across New York State, all 62 counties, and we are just very ready to go with the local elections coming up this November, and then especially November 2018, when we've got the statewide wide elections and the legislative elections, crucial elections for the people of New York State. They're really almost binary. Either we elect a Republican governor and have a Republican majority in the state Senate and get this state going the right direction, or we go the way of Illinois. Anyone who knows where Illinois is going, the way the Democrats control both houses of the legislature with supermajorities, even when they have a Republican governor, they just can't get themselves going in the right direction.
Yeah, but Ed Cox, I don't get it. You know, you got a governor, he's got $26, $27 million in his bank account already to clobber you guys with. He's going to be all over the airwaves. And I haven't heard of a major contender that you've come up with who can run against him.
Well, there is a person called Hillary Clinton who had hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank, and a person who paid, who had half what she had, won the presidency. So look, it's a question of where the people are, what they want, and after three terms of Democratic rule, 12 years, this state is ready for a change, especially when we've got now a governor who is literally destroying industry after industry and jobs across the state, whether it's a natural gas industry in the southern tier or the pipeline industry. Pipelines can't cross New York State to carry clean natural gas to replace dirtier foreign oil in New England, or whether it's the attrition that's happening in the finance community, because that's the way he's raised $8 billion by putting a gun to the finance industry head and saying stand and deliver, and putting a surcharge that hits them particularly, so they're leaving for other places, or whether it's unskilled industries in this country. You have a $15 minimum wage that can be anticipated in several years by industries, unskilled industries here, and on the other side of our long border with Pennsylvania, you got a minimum wage that's half that at $7.25. Where are those industries going to go? Obviously, to Pennsylvania. Or the nanotech industry, the corruption that has been involved in the way he's been throwing money around at projects that don't work. And you get Alan Calleros indicted and nanotech consortium say, we're not going to stay around for this. And they break up and leave. So that's not been good for the job situation here in New York, and we've got more citizens leaving New York State than any other state in the union. So, under those conditions, although I think we will be well financed in the end, it's not just a question of money; it's a question of the direction of the state and how the people of the state feel.
And the question of getting yourself a candidate. I mean, every time we have this conversation, and we have it a lot, I say, who you got? And then you go, but you don't really come up with anybody.
Well, wait a second. We got people who are going around and talking to Republican gatherings all around the state, whether it's Deputy Majority Leader John DeFrancisco, very capable individual from Central New York. You've got Harry Wilson, who did a great job running for controller in 2010, looking at it very seriously again. Now you've got the minority leader in the assembly, Brian Kolb, looking at it. Rob Astorino now is running to be the county exec, Westchester County. I know he just wants to do that. Who knows what he may want to do in the future. But look, we've got serious candidates who are looking at it. In 94, when we beat your old friend Mario Cuomo, I don't think Pataki emerged until April of the election year. So We're ahead of the schedule as
well,
it
of is. Of course, Ed Cox, there is an elephant on the table, and that elephant is none other than Donald Trump, who is one of the most unpopular people that New York State voters as a class have ever seen. So, you know, no matter what you do, people are going to be voting against Trump on the Republican ticket.
This is going to be a question of the economic situation in New York State, and it's going to focus on three terms of Democratic rule. By the way, the first term with Spitzer didn't work out that well, as you know. And now with Andrew Cuomo and what he has done to this, that's going to be the issues, really. Here you've got a governor who is going into the hard left lane, which is killing jobs in New York State just in order to have a clean nomination of his party to be governor and then to have the nomination as party president of the United States. That's what he's doing. And that's not what New Yorkers need. That's why he's killing jobs, because he's playing to the ideology of Bernie Sanders. He had Bernie Sanders next to him when he makes big so-called progressive announcements, and now he's adopted Bernie Sanders' single-payer health care for New York State, which would bankrupt this state. So I think this is going to become a very localized kind of election that's going to focus on what's our statewide officers, all Democrats, done for this state.
Well, but that's not the only thing that's going to bankrupt the state, Ed Cox. What about your president's idea of repealing Obamacare, which would affect the Medicare payments to New York State? Everybody knows that will drag down the state budget and really kill us.
Well, there is a new, I think you're referring to the new initiative that's going on in the Senate that's gathering a lot of momentum, has to be accomplished by September 30th, because then the device of reconciliation isn't available to get it passed with just 50 votes plus the vote of the vice president. And that, in fact, is a Republican philosophy that is, or call it another word, the subsidiary. The whatever is closest to the people is best. Let the state decide what they're going to do with the funds. It block grants funds for health care reform to the states, and they can do what they want. And that gives a lot of flexibility to New York to do what it wants. If New York wants to use those funds for single-payer health care, and that's what Andrew Cuomo can get through the legislature, bless him. I don't think it's going to work. It's going to be much too expensive. But the funds that otherwise would go for Obamacare, all the funds that would go for the subsidies and everything else with respect to the cost of Obamacare would be split up among the states and made available to the states to devise the health care system they want. So RomneyCare may work in Massachusetts. I don't think so. It's looking very expensive there. TennCare didn't work in Tennessee. By the way, Indiana, Mitch Daniels devised a terrific system there using clinics and preventive health care rather than emergency rooms for those who can't afford health care. It's working very well, but we need experimentation on the state level rather than one size fits all federally imposed health care, which is what, in essence, Obamacare is.
All I know is that Andrew Cuomo is saying it will bankrupt the state. Is he lying?
No. Look, one thing's clear is that single-payer health care, government-run care, socialized care, as the socialist, and he is a socialist, he's a member of the Socialist Party, Bernie Sanders, Senator Sanders, has proposed, and a lot of Democrats have signed on to, including Andrew Cuomo, that would certainly bankrupt the state.
Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi have made some inroads with the president. They've agreed on certain things. Some of the Republicans around the country are furious about this. They think it's a betrayal. Are you one of them?
No. Look, this was the president starting to work on a bipartisan basis, which is good. The reason why a lot of the Obama legislation, Obamacare and Dodd-Frank, didn't really work is it was done on a completely partisan basis. And the fact that the president is starting work with Democrats, and so far as they want to work with them, is a huge plus for getting things done. Things that can get done on a permanent basis, like welfare reform got done, like tax reform got done in 86 when you had Tip O'Neill and Reagan, when you had Clinton and the Republican Speaker of the House. And they would go back and forth and end up with something that both could live with. And insofar as this agreement that they would put off the raising the debt ceiling until December 8th of this year and give time to get the health care thing done, if it gets done before, and get tax cuts done before that. And then that was, I think, a good call on the part of the president. This is not a substantive. It was a procedural thing that was agreed upon, but it's a good start.
So you think that you think all those Republicans who are thinking that they've been betrayed and are yelling about this are your colleagues, in other words, are wrong?
No, I think... I'm not sure how many are, frankly, are yelling about it, but in Congress, I think that the Republican leaders were looking to negotiate more over because they had certain ideas that when they won the debt ceiling, in fact, to come up again, they wanted a longer period of time, and I think that went with some legislative strategies. But that doesn't go to the base of the party, that, especially President Trump's base, that just wants to get things done. If they have to get done on a bipartisan basis, that's not bad. And this was a procedural thing. There's been no compromise yet on substance. It should extend to substance so that you get something, not only that it gets done, but it gets done in a way that it sticks. And if it sticks over a period of time, you need to have bipartisan support.
Now, Donald Trump spoke to the United Nations, and he made it clear that, individual nation's sovereignty comes first, and United States comes first. And the beginning of it sounded like an election appeal. The market is up. The money's in. What do you make of that? Do you think your father-in-law, Dick Nixon, would have approved of that?
Absolutely. In fact, some of his original speeches were drafted by the people of the old Nixon Center, who were for a realistic foreign policy that serves the interests of the people of the United States, and then goes out and negotiates representing those interests with the interests of all the other countries. But look, the Cold War was a war of very serious ideologies. That's pretty much over now. We're going back to really pre-World War I, kind of where lots of different countries, lots of different interests, they're all out there working for their interests. We have to represent our president. Has to be on the global stage representing our interests. But certainly, if we do not have a strong and prosperous United States, then we're not going to be what we should be, a shining example to the world of how democracy and free markets work.
Well, wait. I want to know something. There's a lot of talk now, if you read the New York Times, that Mueller, the independent counsel, has his eye on Trump, that they're requisitioning all kinds of and subpoenaing all kinds of documents from the White House. It's certainly, and they've gone to an independent FISA judge to be able to do all of that stuff, especially with Manafort, the former campaign chairman. Sounds to me like we may have an impeachment on our hands.
No, I sincerely doubt that. Look, knowing some of the people involved in this, and Manafort may have had something way back when he was working in the Ukraine, and they may want to do that to squeeze him in order to try and get him to say, but there's nothing to say with respect to the way Donald Trump conducted his campaign and whether there was any kind of so-called collusion with Russia. It didn't happen, wasn't there, and it's going to come. People may be indicted for things unrelated. That's what happens with these special counsel. They find something out there where 10 years ago, Paul Manafort did something with respect that didn't really measure up to what the laws at the time were, and they may indict him on that, but that's got nothing to do with the Trump campaign.
So you're willing to stake your reputation as a political analyst and the rest, as a political activist, on the fact that there will be no impeachment against Donald Trump?
Well, if Nancy Pelosi were to be the Speaker of the House again, there is such animus among Democrats because they felt that this election belonged to them. And surprise, surprise, the people of this country said, no, we want real change. We do not want Hillary Clinton. And it was such a shock. I don't think they've gotten.
Wait.
They could very well vote impeachment articles on very trivial things. That is, but they're not going to get there because we're going to be stopping them here in New York. We've got 9 members of Congress here who are just terrific, and we're sort of the swing state of 2018 with respect to who controls Congress, because all these are fair fight districts. They were drawn by judges, and we are putting boots on the ground as it is now, party building effort, locating voters who, this is going to be, for us, it's really a 20-month campaign with respect to congressional seats and the state Senate. And we are, yeah.
But wait, Andrew Cuomo says he's going to get rid of 6 of your 9. He's got
That's
his finger
right.
on them,
yeah.
and he says he's going to go after them, and he's going to get them unelected based on the fact that Trump is so unpopular in New York. I'm sure that's part of it.
Well, that's why we started last April, May, building the party up across this state, putting boots on the ground in a way that we are, in fact, are going to hold on to all our congressional seats. If we do, and you go through the calculations, there's no way Nancy Pelosi will be the Speaker of the House, or Cuomo will realize what he said he would do, with Nancy Pelosi, by the way, standing next to him, saying that he would take out most of our members of Congress.
Okay, let's go to back to New York State and the so-called Prococo case. And as you know, there are new charges coming out there. Obviously, they want to put a lot of pressure, the prosecutors, on both Prococo and at least one other guy who has pleaded guilty in this whole major corruption trial, which will be coming up fairly soon. What damage do you think that'll make to the Democrats?
Huge. Huge. And that's what I mean about the localization of this election. Andrew Cuomo's reelect is only at 46%. When your name's Cuomo, you're governor of New York State, and you only have 46% reelect, you're not going to get more than that in the general election. And he and his job approval is at 43%, even worse. And these trials are coming up in which he said he would have to testify them. And one of the people being tried for corruption in his administration is his quote unquote brother, as he said in his eulogy to his father, Mario. Mm-hmm. This is going to have and people in this state are sick and tired of corruption. That is going to be a major issue. And those trials of the 9 close associates of his, including his brother, it's going to be a very significant impact on the election. That's why we're going to win the governorship and also the down ballot races.
So let's be very clear. When you say his brother, you mean his so-called brother. His brother is Chris Cuomo, who's on the air on CNN, regularly, and he's not facing indictment.
He's not, but in his eulogy to his father, he said there is a third brother in the family. He is so close to us, and his name is Joe Prococo. That's what he said. Well, Joker has been indicted for corruption, and that is taking bribes with respect to major project money that Andrew Cuomo was throwing indiscriminately around the state for his own political benefit, billions and billions of dollars. When the governor does that, the little fish around him, especially those that are close to him, take little pieces here and there in ways that are indictable. And that's what's happened.
Ed Cox, I want to ask you about the Constitutional Convention. That's all heating up every 20 years. There's an opportunity for the voters of New York to decide whether to have a Constitutional Convention. My very good friend Jerry Benjamin at New Paltz and Hank DeLay and some of these other guys are really pushing like crazy now. The polls are showing that people are sort of evenly divided on it. What do you think?
Oh, I love Professor Benjamin, and
a Republican,
theoretically, though. I think he's got a point of view. But when it comes down to the reality of it, the people who will be running that Constitutional Convention will be the special interests of this state, and we have enough special interest legislation going through Albany to the detriment of the people of this state. We do not need that special interest stuff embedded in the Constitution where it's much harder to change.
Well, as you may know, my friend Ed Cox, although we don't always agree on things, I'm a big fan of initiative and referendum. I know you're going to say that the special interests get, but I think every once in a while.
That's different. Yeah. No, that's different, Alan. That gives the people a chance in a, as long as the both sides are fully funded and the whatever the referendum is worded, and you need people to make sure it's worded in a way that presents the issue in a fair way. And then the people get a chance to vote on it, to focus on it. And that's the way, in fact, we've changed our Constitution, in essence, is by having it passing through the legislature. I believe it has to go through twice, yeah. Some amendment to the Constitution, and then the people can focus on that particular amendment. That is a form of referendum, I guess, that we do have for changing our Constitution, and that has been used from time to time and used effectively.
Looks to me like the state Senate may be on its last legs, Republican legs. And I'm wondering whether this constitutes a real danger for you as the chairman.
I would sincerely disagree with that. I think we are going to have a Republican governor after the 2018 elections, and we are going to have a Republican state Senate, and this state is going to get turned around and become an economic powerhouse rather than being the least business-friendly state, growing at half the rate of the rest of the nation, a highest tax state, most regulated state, the highest education costs,
okay,
with mediocre results. I mean, you can go through all the problems of this state
but
a good Republican governor and Republican senator can address and get going in the right direction.
And how do you overcome the fact that there are so many Democrats in New York City, even though, you know, in many ways you do have a real foothold in upstate New York? How do you get over the fact that New York City is always going to be a Democratic stronghold?
Well, it's interesting. In the last six mayoral elections, Alan,
yep,
five of them, the mayor was elected on the Republican ticket. So they recognize the value of good Republican government here in New York City. You're right, a 7-1 Democrat, but still they've elected mayors on the Republican ticket over and over and over again. And those mayors brought this city back from when it was flat on its back in the late 80s and early 90s and made it, once again, the finance, the media, and the, as the Pope once called it, the capital of the world.
So the New York State Board of Elections probes the ties between Senate Democrats and the union super PAC. The investigation follows a complaint filed last October by you, Ed Cox, charging that a powerful union official working to swing the state Senate to Democratic control, Robert Master, was breaking a law meant to prevent illegal campaign contributions. Can you comment on that?
Indeed he is, and the Attorney General of this state, Eric Schneiderman, should be doing something about it. He's not doing anything about it. Finally, our complaint got the investigator of the Board of Elections to do something about it. Super PACs cannot coordinate with campaigns on the ground, and one man was running the Super PAC and also the campaign on the ground. That's illegal, and it's clearly that way. He even took where was Attorney General Schneiderman while all this was going on? He's only playing partisan politics with respect to Trump and with respect to Republicans around this state.
So would you want to make a bet with me that this doesn't go very far?
You know, this investigator is a very close to Andrew Cuomo, was put in there at the assistance of Andrew Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo is a control freak. I think she has started an investigation, as our pressure on her did. Where it goes, we'll see how independent she really is.
And you guys have never coordinated a campaign using an outside PAC with the people on the ground?
No, we don't. No, we are very careful. I don't move without advice of counsel when any super PAC or something like that's involved. Of course, we are permitted to coordinate outside of New York City. Of course, where the campaign finance laws don't permit us to make contributions to the council and the mayors and the citywide campaigns. Outside New York, though, New York City, we certainly can work directly, and certainly using our reportable account, get involved directly in campaigns supporting our candidates.
In any case, we're out of time. Our guest has been Ed Cox, chairman of the New York State Republican Party. Ed, as always, thanks so much for joining us.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Alan.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.